It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Christy McCrackus describes herself as a pagan agnostic, but she's been in church on many recent Sunday mornings. She's on a personal journey that involves visits with small congregations in North Georgia. Christy is a transplant from Boston and chose church as a way to get to know more about her new neighbors and what's important to them. I sat down with Christy McCrackus this month and began by asking what she considers a pagan agnostic.
Actually, I'm glad you bring that up because I learned that my definition of paganism is a lot different from Christian's definition of paganism. I walked into a Baptist church in the North Georgia Mountains in Morganton, and they told me to sit in on their Sunday school, and I've never sat in on Sunday school. And interestingly, they have a little booklet, and they were describing pagans, and I was quite shocked. So I'm certainly not...
So you're actually holding a... For the listeners out there, she's holding a kind of a book. It's a pretty thick book called Explore the Bible. Okay, so they define paganism.
Yeah, here, I'll read it. And this isn't quite the way I define it, so maybe we should work on this definition. Carrying on in unrestrained behavior, evil desires, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and lawless idolatry. So to make things clear...
Okay, that's not the official definition of paganism.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, I certainly don't do all those things. For me, it just means someone who loves nature and lives by the laws of nature, sunrise, sundown, and doesn't necessarily believe in organized religion. But agnostic there, I'm just leaving it open because I'm open to learning new things from other people.
Why choose, if you're a pagan agnostic and you're opening yourself up to the things that describe you as being drunken and participating in orgies, that's not a particularly enjoyable experience. Why would you choose church service as a way to get to know more about your new state?
Well, actually, I didn't know that was the definition of paganism until I went to Sunday school yesterday. But in addition to visiting churches, I'm also exploring the Appalachians. So I've also explored the topic of guns, because there's a store called Drug and Gun. And also, I want to explore the topic of railroads in the Appalachians. So I just want to get to know the South, because as you mentioned, I'm from Boston. And when I came here, I didn't have the sense that Atlanta was the South. It's very international. I didn't meet that many people who came from Atlanta or Georgia. Everyone seemed to come from somewhere else.
A lot of people are transplants like yourself and like myself.
And when I came here, I thought that I'd be greeted by Southern hospitality and I'd sit on a porch and drink mint juleps. And instead, I just met a lot of other people from big cities. When I bought the cabin in North Georgia, I wanted to explore getting to know people in the mountains, in the Appalachians. And certainly being in the Bible Belt, church is a central part of people's lives. I don't want to explore it because there's a clash of ideologies on how you see the world. I want to understand people and why they go to church. Plus, I always had this sense that there's a certain sense of community in churches. And I'm kind of an outsider and I want to look in. I used to ride my bike. I still ride my bike up and down Old 76 in Morganton and notice six churches I wanted to explore.
And that became the name of your blog. You call it Six Churches, 6 Miles, 6 Weeks.
Yeah.
Did you find the sense of community that you thought would be there? Is that what you found?
To a certain extent, although one thing I found a little disappointing is that, and they're small churches, so they're more intimate, so there is a chance to get to know people. And people are very friendly. They always greet me, of course, because I'm not known. A lot of the people only seem to see each other just that day. Like, they don't seem to socialize outside unless they're doing some sort of Bible study together. And they were actually kind of bemoaning that. They thought there should be more hospitality because that was a topic of Sunday school, too.
So what have you taken away from this? Has it accomplished what you wanted in terms of getting to know your area and your neighborhood?
Well, I think what I need to do is delve deeper in now. Now that I've had an overview, I need to delve deeper. And hopefully I'll do that. I got the phone number of these people sitting near me yesterday. Actually, there was one guy who was a former pagan, but he ascribed to this paganism I just described, like drunkenness and all that.
Wait, he was a former person who did drunkenness and orgies and
now is crazy
behavior. Okay.
Yeah, he's actually from New Hampshire, so that was double intriguing that another transplant is now a Christian and doesn't drink or do anything that this definition of paganism.
Do people try to convert you?
I think that's why they always come up and shake my hand. And, you know, the last church I went to, which was across from this Baptist one, was a Methodist one. And he said, well, I hope you choose us. And, you know, we're small and friendly and we hug a lot. And so, you know,
How do you answer that, though? You're not actually looking for a church, are you?
Well, part of me is looking for spirituality, but I think that actually one thing I've come away with, I guess, is that I'll just be a perpetual outsider, maybe. You know, and you can define yourself as an outsider looking in, and you want to write about other people, but not necessarily take part in their life.
Before we leave this conversation, do you feel as though you're getting an understanding for the real Georgia from these visits?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Okay, so what is that? What does that look like? If this is at least in some measure an authentic picture of Georgia, what does that picture look like?
First of all, I think there's a lot of vanishing Georgia, that the old Georgia is not necessarily the new Georgia. And for this project I'm working on, I also want to, you know, look at the changing face of the South, because it's not what other people might think who come in and look at the old South, at segregation or, you know, Bible Belt and people who are so ideological they don't look at other points of view. I think it's more nuanced than that. I mean, I met a lot of very nice, friendly people. I think they do have a sense of community by going to church. And they also share things like so-and-so fell off a tractor and died and someone's sick and let's pray for them. I mean, I don't think I can blindly believe that Christ will do these things.
That's probably a different issue, right? But did you find the Georgia you expected when you moved south, the Georgia that involved Southern hospitality and drinking a mint julep on a porch?
Oh, we'll see. But I guess the group I saw yesterday won't drink at all, apparently, if pagans...
Guess not.
But I've met other people where I can learn that from.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of people in Georgia that'll teach you how to drink. My guest is Christy McCracken. She's the author of the blog, 6 Churches, 6 Miles, 6 Weeks. That blog is about her visits to small churches to see what she learns about the people and the state of Georgia. And this is a personal project, Christy, that's helped you find answers to questions you didn't know you had. But my producer, Amanda, says you're an expert in something quite unexpected. That's all that I know at this point, because what we were going to do next is part of our occasional series that we call No Notes. And for this series, my producers literally sit me down with someone and give me no information. They often don't even tell me who the person is. I know who you are. What I don't know is what this thing that you're an expert in that is unexpected. So following along with me, the listeners are going to try to figure it out while I try to figure it out. You game for this?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So is it related to your writing?
Yes.
It is related to your writing.
Yes.
Is it something that you learned as a kid?
Parts of it I might have learned as a kid, but not the specialty in general, no.
So this is a specialty. Is it like an academic specialty? Are there professors of this somewhere?
More generally, I suppose there could be, but no, certainly not. I don't think there would be a professor of this topic.
Okay, so you're an expert in a particular topic. Mm-hmm. Did you write a book about it?
Oh, yes.
Okay, and I have not looked up your biography. They warned me not to do that.
Okay.
So I don't know what that book was about. But is it related to an activity? Like, is it about hiking? Is it an activity like that?
Not about hiking, no.
But isn't it about an activity?
Part of it is, yeah, certainly, yeah.
Is this a sport of some kind?
Not a sport, no.
Is it a survival skill?
It is a good survival skill, but not in the sense that you might think of it in terms of, like, if you're a survivalist.
Like finding water or something.
Yeah, but it is a survival skill for a lot of people.
Does it require another person to do it?
That's a hard question to answer. Yes and no.
Yes and no.
You said to answer truthfully.
Yes, you're supposed to answer me truthfully. Okay, this is about a topic which involves an activity which might be required to live and may or may not involve another person.
No, not required to live, but in the sense that if you're doing an activity, you might need it to survive, not food or water or whatever.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so we have to clarify what we mean by
that.
Does
it also involve art?
Sometimes.
Like a fine art?
It's sometimes been used in art, but that's not what the expertise or book is about.
Does it have anything to do with drawing?
Yes and no, too. I mean, again, that's why it could be related to art.
I think I'm just getting more confused. Okay, do you have to talk in order to be able to do this activity?
No.
So you can be silent?
Yes.
Do you do it outdoors or indoors?
Usually indoors.
Does it involve specific tools?
Yes.
Okay. Are those tools sharp?
Sometimes.
Does it involve a material like wood or metal?
Sometimes wood.
Does it involve carving the wood?
Not carving in the sense that you're going to carve, you know, a piece of art. Should I give you, this will be a big hint, writing on the wood.
So do all of us use this object that you create? It is an object you create, right?
No, we don't all use it at all. No.
No, but do you use it?
When I'm doing demonstrations and things, yeah.
Is it a writing utensil?
Yes, sometimes, yep.
Sometimes it's a writing utensil. Are you creating pencils?
Not pencils, no.
Pens?
Yes, certain types of pens, yeah.
A certain type of pen.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's some type of pen?
Mm-hmm.
It's a specific type of pen supposed to write a specific type of thing?
This is a big hint. I mean, you use it to communicate in a certain way.
Certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Like to create like Braille?
Oh, well, you're getting warm. Not Braille. It's not for blind people.
No. I'm really hot, aren't I? I'm getting close, right?
Well, if you follow the line of thought, like why people use Braille.
Okay, so why people use Braille is because they're blind and they need to be able to feel the words. So this is a kind of writing that for also other people who have a disability of some kind?
No, they don't have any disability at all. Nope.
Are they reading in the dark?
Sometimes.
So you create a specific type of pen.
Well, a pen is just one aspect of the whole thing.
You create something that creates writing.
Mm-hmm.
You create the tool that creates the writing.
Mm-hmm.
You create printing presses.
Nope.
Can this be used for all different kinds of things? In other words, can whatever it is that you're creating be used for both writing or for art?
Yeah. Some of it, yeah.
No. Do you create tattoo pens?
No. Should I give you another hint?
Yes, go ahead.
You had mentioned writing. You were warm.
So you create something that creates a writing of some kind.
Mm-hmm. I don't create it. I mean, of course, I can create it too, but it's something that people use. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
So why was writing invented?
To keep record of things, to communicate to other people.
To communicate.
Yes. So you create something that is used to communicate,
mm-hmm.
but it's not Braille.
No.
And it's not for people who have a disability.
Nope.
It's for anybody.
Well, anybody and certain people that especially need it.
You lost me, Christy.
I'll give you a big hint. Spies use it.
Spies use it. Well, spies have a different name. They have a code name.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like they're, I mean, what they have is their things identifying who they really are.
Yeah, they have a code name, but get back to communication.
Okay, Christy, what is the topic?
Have I stumped you?
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Invisible ink.
You create invisible ink, or you're an expert in invisible ink.
Yeah, exactly. I wrote a book on the history of invisible ink.
When was the very first invisible ink created?
Well, the ancient Greeks, that's part of the story, and it's not lemon juice, actually. That's another topic. So invisible ink isn't just ink. It's also concealing your writing. They used to write on tablets in the ancient times, like
mm-hmm.
we use paper these days. They used to carve the message in it and then cover it with wax. And then they would take it to the recipient and they'd have this blank tablet. And they go, oh, why do I have a blank tablet? If you took the wax off, then you would see the message. But it's not a real good method. It's like if I give you a blank piece of paper, then people will wonder, why am I giving you a blank piece of paper?
Right. You'd have to know that you were expecting.
Because, well, then if you're an investigator, you'll be suspicious and you want to check it for invisible ink. They didn't start using lemon juice a lot until the Renaissance. I thought the ancient Greeks would use it because they had all these lemon trees in the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
I thought that seems logical. You just squeeze some lemons. But it wasn't until the Renaissance that they started using lemon juice, probably from Italy and the Medici and all that.
Christy McCrackis, multifaceted expertise. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Christy McCrackis is a professor at Georgia Tech. Her book is called Prisoners, Lovers, and Spies, the story of invisible ink from Herodotus to Al-Qaeda. We have links for her 6 churches, 6 miles, 6 weeks blog posts at our website, gpbnews.org.